Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Real Science Friday. I'm Bob Enyart. There is a website that is just so neat. It's fun to be on it. It's the Creation Science Hall of Fame. And to discuss it, we're honored to have the chairman of the board of the Creation Science Hall of Fame on with us, Nick Lally. Nick, welcome to Real Science Friday.
Thank you, Bob. It's nice of you all to have me.
Well, sure thing. So, Nick, I'm all ears. I'm interested to hear about how this came to be, and I'd like us to talk through some of the inductees, the living inductees, the deceased inductees, some of the honorable mentions, the Darwin doubters, the Darwin skeptics. So to begin with, how did this come about?
Can I talk about the Creation Science Hall of Fame first, initially?
Yeah.
Great. Basically, it's a website right now, and as you know, we're looking to build eventually between the Ark Encounter and the Creation Museum up there in Petersburg, Kentucky.
Mm.
But right now, it's a website, and it's an educational site for students and adults. But I will say this, it is one of the most comprehensive creationist people website there is that we know of right now.
Right, because you could go to, let's say, Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham's site, or any number, ICR, and you could find out about the people involved with their ministry, the people who have written for them, and a little bit historically. But you guys are making an effort to comprehensively list the people who have basically formed the creation movement.
Exactly. And our basis for the whole site is honoring those who honor God's word as literally written in Genesis.
Mm.
And right now we got about 15 toolbar headers. And that takes you to 15 different areas with a whole host of information on creationists.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but it's such an encouraging site to other creationists as well. But you know what? When I think of the Hall of Fame, here's what comes to my mind. The five directors that are running it right now,
mm-hmm.
we have diversity. For instance, Dr. Willie Dye. Now, he's out of Los Angeles, California.
Right.
This guy has 7 doctor degrees, of which some are honorary. I mean, he does digs all over the world. You got Dr. Terry Holbert, who has a medical degree, and he's our webmaster at the moment
mm-hmm.
and our major writer. But behind him is our web designer, and I get more compliments on the web design itself than anything. But, you know, I'm on public here, and I cannot mention his name because he works for and with a secular community.
Mm-hmm.
And if they knew he was a creationist,
right,
it would be all over for him.
Right.
It would be done.
Nick, we've mentioned, in fact, we had in studio Dr. Jerry Bergman, and he wrote his book, The Slaughter of the Dissidents, about the many documented cases where people, not even people who've said, I'm now a young earth creationist, just people who've said, I'm starting to doubt Darwin, and their careers are destroyed. So this
Absolutely.
Is, right, this is the heavy hand, the Darwin mafia.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
Because of Jerry's work, we took Slaughter of the Dissidents, the shocking truth about killing the careers of Darwin doubters.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what he discovered, by the way. Hate crimes against Darwinian doubters. Now, I'm not talking violent hate crimes, but less violent.
Right.
He found discrimination against Darwin doubters. He found derogatory, inappropriate comments. He found denial of admittance to graduate programs.
Right.
And even denial of degrees. And I happen to know Dr. Charles Jackson. He's in Noble, Oklahoma at the moment, an
mm-hmm.
excellent creationist with an advanced Ph. degree in science and education. They tried to deny his degree at a major university because he was a creationist. That's what's
professor,
going on.
There's a professor, I think it's at a university in Texas. I could get the details. But he has online on his website right now that he will not recommend for a PhD any student who denies Darwin.
Yes,
so,
yes, I read that. And you know what? That might have to just go on our website under another heading we were thinking about called Creation Defenses.
You were talking about your board. You mentioned Willie Dye, Terry Holbert, So I'd like to hear a little bit something about you. And you have a board member from Australia, I think.
Yeah, Joe Steffen from Australia, South Australia. And what makes him unique is not only is he a great creationist, an intelligent one, but he's blind. And being blind, he has to keep up with the rest of us. And you know what? Hmm. He passes us all the time. He's always
great?
Ahead of us.
Isn't that
he's amazing?
Great? Yeah.
And then there's Pastor Boyd out of Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that does the Creation Evidence Expo every year.
Hmm.
And
fabulous.
He also does it in Los Angeles, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, there's deceased inductees.
Yeah.
The beginning of this site, we took this from Dr. Henry M. Mars, the late Dr. Henry M. Mars.
Yeah. Basically, he's the Copernicus of the modern young earth movement.
Yes.
And he wrote a book called Men of Science, Men of God.
Exactly. And he did all the research on those people. And we've been using that information on our website right now. And it's been working out really well,
mm-hmm.
you know, for deceased ones. One of the ones that always seems to get the most hits is Galileo Galilei.
Mm-hmm.
And people try to tell us that, oh, he wasn't a creationist. But listen to this quote. God is known by nature in his works and by doctrine in his revealed word. The glory and the greatness of Almighty God are marvelously discerned in all his works and divinity read in the open book of heaven. For let no one believe that reading the lofty concepts written in that book leads to nothing further than the mere seeing of the splendor of the sun and the stars and their rising and setting, which is as far as the eyes of the brutes and the vulgar can penetrate.
Wow.
So, is something. We get writers telling us that he was not a creationist, and
yeah.
we just say, well, talk to him, not me. You know?
Hey, Nick, you know what's great with this age, this information age? What we try to do at Real Science Friday is when we quote one of the fathers of the physical sciences or even someone today currently, we will, if at all possible, link to the original source document because many, many times now that's available either at Google Books or elsewhere. And so we're making that effort and we're finding that it is persuading people. Because when we would say Isaac Newton was a biblical young earth creationist and they would deny it.
Yes.
Or we would say that, you know, fill in the blank scientist believed that the evidence for God as our creator is overwhelming, say Johann Kepler. And
yeah.
they would deny it. But more and more, when we say, here's what he said, we're linking to the source document. And for one, it's fact checking our own work. And for
exactly.
two, it's extremely persuasive then.
Well, yeah, because you're just being the transporter of the information at that point.
Right.
Here's what he said, not me.
Right.
So that's a good tool. We found that to work very well with us.
Nick, could I challenge one of your deceased inductees? I love your website. I've been telling people about your website. I think it's great. In fact, I recommended for consideration for honorable mention a scientist, Dr. Carl Werner. And I've had other input, giving suggestions. So I love you guys. But let me challenge one of your deceased inductees. And that is Gregor Mendel. I have recently retracted my claim in a debate with a very well-known atheist, Aaron Ra. In the final round of our written debate, I retracted my claim that Gregor Mendel remained a creationist after reading Charles Darwin's Origin of Species. I could not document that.
Yeah, I understand where you're coming from there.
So my thought is, Nick, I'm not asking you for any kind of a judgment or a defense on the spot, but I would like to propose that the board reconsider Gregor Mendel.
You know what? I'm glad you're saying that because we are far from perfect, as everyone else is.
Right.
And we make mistakes. And I got to tell you that we already have another one in question. But we're researching it. So we do our research.
Yeah.
And when five of us agree, that's it. And then we make the changes. And you
mm-hmm.
know what? It happens. And we accept it. And we know we're fallible. And that's the way it is.
Absolutely. And you know what? The other side, the Darwinist and the atheist, Big Bangers, all those guys, they seem to have a zero concession policy. They never admit to being wrong.
No.
And especially when one of their leading arguments turns out to be false, like let's say junk DNA, where now nature has reported 80% of the human genome, 3 billion base pairs they've identified function for 80% of it so far, and yet they have a zero concession policy where they will not say, this was a leading argument of us Darwinists for evolution. We now acknowledge that it was wrong. They never do that.
No. When you don't stop and self-reflect, that's a clue right there to be careful. Watch out.
Yeah,
it's a red light.
It seems, Nick, and we're speaking with Nick Lally, the chairman of the board of the Creation Science Hall of Fame. You find them online at creationsciencehalloffame.org. Nick, it seems that it's an indicator of fear that they recognize they have a very superficial defense of their position, because when they're obviously proved wrong, they can't acknowledge it. That's an indication of weakness, not strength. Whereas as a creationist, I am thankful when people prove me wrong and I publicize it. I say we were wrong and here's the correction. I'm not afraid of my position.
No, and that shows you're an intelligent guy. You're open to suggestion. You have nothing to hide, and you're not afraid of truth.
Well, amen. And that's what knowing Jesus Christ, that's what we should be brought to, because he is the truth.
Exactly.
All right. So you've described your board of directors to us. How about a little bit about yourself?
Oh, my. I don't talk about myself too often. I'm a retired science teacher. And I discovered that, you know what, when evolution was being taught by me, we didn't have chapters on it. It was all integrated. It was just like hodgepodge material thrown in to another chapter or another subject area of science.
Wow. What
and
a
that's
great
how
part.
They managed to squeeze in evolution, but not evolution per se inside of an individual chapter. It's almost as if they didn't have the information, but they needed to insert it where they wanted to insert it.
Right. It's an editorial gloss. And they do this with PhD thesis papers. Your advisor will tell you, well, you need to add a paragraph to say that this all evolved. And quite often the grad student, he's like, well, that has nothing to do with my paper. And usually they just add it. And sometimes they say, well, that really detracts from what I'm writing. And some have refused. But just the fact that they do that shows how desperate they are to maintain the illusion that this actual science is supporting their theory.
Yes. I could remember thinking back, this is a belief system. I mean, I have my own belief system, but I also have an historical document called God's Word, the Bible, with it. So what am I going to believe? This historical information, science with no objectivity and observation, as opposed to a book literally written historically by our God, and they can't understand this? The problem, I think, right now is if there's no God, then we've had to be naturally made by mutation, natural selection in this way.
Right.
So it's like me saying to you, in fact, Ron Carlson said it best. He said, let's make believe there's no number four. And I ask you, please tell me what two and two is. But remember, you can't say four. And that's exactly what they're doing to us. How did man get here? Well, our Lord, as we know, literally written as in Genesis, tells us.
Well,
you can't say that. So you can't say four. That's my point.
Well, a respected evolutionist a while back had written a textbook. I think it was called Biochemical Predestination, Dean Kenyon, saying that when you look at the physics of atoms and molecules, you can see that life would just spontaneously begin. And he tried to explain how the DNA molecule would begin to form and all. And then he retracted his textbook. He acknowledged that he was wrong, because the more we've learned, the more we've seen that this is a ludicrous concept. And in retracting, even though he already had tenure, his career was sabotaged. And he ended up, I think, mopping the floors in the science department or something.
He
was sabotaged, but he did remain as a professor, emeritus, whatever. But he's an example of when people, even people who have dug in and said, no, this all happened without God, it all has an explanation. Then when you look at the particulars, you realize that it falls apart. There is no conceivable explanation for the existence of our consciousness.
You know what? That reminds me what some of these evolutionists are doing. They don't really come at you from their perspective science they usually use somebody else's material to come after you.
In other words, if you speak to a professor of ophthalmology at the University of California, he doesn't want to talk about the evolution of the eye. He wants to talk about the fossils or the Big Bang. Except for the world's leading evangelist, like Richard Dawkins, the run-of-the-mill professor who believes in evolution does not prove evolution from his discipline. He always thinks somebody else proves it because he can't see it in his own expertise.
Exactly. I remember him being asked the question, how did life begin, by Stein? And he was, when he said, I thought he said something like, from outer space, and Stein said something back, where they come from, or he said crystals. I don't exactly remember, but it's so absurd when you come down to the common denominator.
Well, Nick Lally, you're right on both counts. A different scientist said that life evolved on the back of crystals. And Ben Stein looked at him and he said, now, could you tell me again, how did life originate? And he said, I already told you, on the backs of crystals. It's like, we're thinking, what's the difference between the fronts of crystals and the backs of crystals? It's such a ludicrous argument that the information content required to describe how to build a protein and then to keep that information in some kind of a database. And that whole process, it's so ludicrous to say, what happened on the backs of crystals? I've explained it. What's wrong with you? But then Richard Dawkins, at the very end of Ben Stein's movie Expelled, Ben Stein asked him, how about the origin of life? And Richard Dawkins said, well, it could have come about in this way. The evidence may show, as we look at the complexity, as we look at the genetic mechanisms, that might be evidence that a long time ago, far, far away in another galaxy, sounds like he's watching Star Wars, that there was a civilization that evolved by Darwinian means, and that civilization designed life and seeded it on our Earth. That's what Richard Dawkins said to Ben Stein in the movie Expelled.
In other words, he just pushed the problem out there, but he got the same problem.
Exactly. He just punted, right? How does that solve the problem? If life was too complex to evolve here on the ultimately hospitable Earth, how could it evolve somewhere else? And you know what the physicist Lawrence Krauss said to us? Lawrence Krauss said, well, on another star or in another galaxy, they had billions of years more time to evolve. But that doesn't answer the problem, because they don't need like twice as much time or three times as much time. They need millions of times as much time to form a protein or an enzyme or by chance.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, where did the DNA information come from? And there's so much of it.
Right.
It has to come from intelligence. And that can only be from a designer, because it doesn't come from energy or matter. It's just ridiculous.
Exactly. So, Nick Lally, in your Creation Science Hall of Fame, tell me about some of the living inductees and the process that's involved in recommending somebody for a living inductee.
Sure, Bob. In fact, this is one of the reasons why we list them on the Creation Science Hall of Fame website. These people, it's like wearing a bullseye on their shirt. It's like advertising to the world, these creations I'm referring to. I'm a Christian who believes in the Bible as literally written. And you know what? They're sticking themselves out there, and they're being ridiculed, and they're still sticking up and showing the world that they believe in the Bible, they believe in their science that they study, and they can back up the Bible by the science. And we here are honoring those because of that.
That's tremendous, and I love your list, too. You know why? Because in the creation movement, as in every movement, there's sort of cliques, you know, and there's the in-group and the scientists who are not in the in-group. And you list a couple scientists who don't really move within the circles of the mega ministries, the real big ministries. But I'm so thankful that you do. There is a creation museum down in Glen Rose, Texas, and a dear friend of our show, Dr. Don Patton, flew out to Denver to present to us the evidence of the human footprints with the dinosaur footprints. And I tell you, many within the creation movement said years ago that we shouldn't use that argument, but they have no idea how far the evidence has come in the last 20 years, how sophisticated the scientific analysis and how persuasive it is that, in fact, there are human footprints with dinosaur footprints. So that whole question should be reopened. We did a show on that. People could go to realsciencefriday.com and just search for human footprints. And it is fascinating to see the evidence that men walked with dinosaurs right there in stone.
You know what? You bring up something here. Men walking with dinosaurs, the theory and the evidence that has been demonstrated, I think you're referring to Dr. Ba.
Yes, that's right, Carl Ba.
And absolutely, there is evidence. But you know what the hardest thing sometimes is demonstrating to your colleagues, your other creationists, that this is what occurred, this is my theory, and when they don't agree with it, problems start because we're human, and
right.
we know how we're sinful. And next thing you know, we're not respectful towards each other because of that, because we don't believe in the other fellow's theories. Or,
mm-hmm.
But I'm bringing that back to the Creation Science Hall of Fame. Regardless of your theory, if you have worked in the creation science field for most of your life and honored God's word as literally written in Genesis, you're going to be honored. Just because man doesn't agree with your theory doesn't mean you're not going to be honored. You're still going to be honored.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, I've seen that evidence, and I'm of the opinion he's absolutely correct.
Yeah, I am also.
Dinosaurs.
And I've traveled with Dr. Don Patton. There is a fossil site in Tennessee that we went to along with another Christian researcher, David Willis. And mm-hmm. we are waiting for Don Patton to publish the findings from that trip before we go public with it. But wow, there's so much tremendous evidence. And when the big ministries say, don't use this argument, like, for example, one of Walt Brown's arguments is the amount of dust on the moon. That is a powerful argument. NASA had prepared for maybe 100 feet or more of dust on the moon. We know that from the history on their own website, NASA's mm-hmm. history pages. We know it when you look at the lunar lander with those pods, those feet, they look like bowls, so it wouldn't sink in the dust. By the time they did land, they knew there were only a couple inches of
yes.
dust. But in the decade before, when they were designing the lunar lander, that's when they thought it maybe was 100 feet of dust. And Walt Brown has done the documentation. He's presented the mathematical equations to show that this is a big support for the young Earth creation position.
Walt Brown is on the Creation Science Hall of Fame website, obviously under the living inductees.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also, we'll call it now for today's conversation's sake, we'll say minor as opposed to major creationists.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ones is Dr. Cuazzo. And this fellow is a trained and practiced orthodontist like for 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was from Glen Ridge, New Jersey originally. He's gone to France and Europe, and he's done extensive
studies. He's the Neanderthal guy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
He doesn't belong to one of the major creation organizations.
Right.
He does it on his own. He does mm-hmm. his own research. And he's one of the first ones that demonstrated Neanderthal was man, and he wasn't ape-like.
Was man. And just now, in the last year or so, we have sequenced the Neanderthal genome, and lo and behold, Neanderthal is closer to your DNA than a chimp is to a chimp. So Neanderthal is human, and regardless of the particulars of his argument, his conclusion was right. Neanderthal was a human being.
Exactly.
Is a person. Hey, when you list in the living inductees Walt Brown, you're talking about major creationists belonging to like CMI, for example, AIG, you have Ken Ham, and CMI, you have Jonathan Sarfati, who's the number one creation writer today. But Walt Brown, if people Google so many topics like the origin of the Grand Canyon, the origin of Earth's radioactivity, the origin of comets, the origin of the ocean trenches, Walt Brown comes up one in about a dozen different major searches. So
he
is reaching hundreds of thousands of people with a Bible-based flood model that is just extraordinary.
We think the world of Walt Brown. He was one of our initial ones that we put on the Hall of Fame website.
Mm, yes. Yeah, we agree also.
You know what? Another reason why we list people is because, think about this. Let's just go forward 100 years. And today's creationists are no longer with us. They went home with the Lord. Now, let me ask you, where are their artifacts, their pictures, their theories, their bio artifacts? Are they going to end up in maybe the second generation's basements only to be thrown out later.
Mm. We need a repository.
We have a spot now to house these people's bio artifacts, their photos, their awards, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And that's what our dream is to make sure this building's up and has pictures and demonstrates and show who these creationists are. Because remember, most of these creationists, this movement didn't start, I think, probably in the 50s with Dr. Henry Morrison Wickham.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah. And don't forget the Australian crowd. They were right there, too, a little bit right after that.
Yeah, Carl Whelan, and they're heroes, these guys.
They are.
So we are about out of time, Nick Lally. But the website, again, Creation Science Hall of Fame. Give us the website. It's obvious.
CreationScienceHallOfFame.org.
.org. It is a beautiful website, by the way. I agree with those who've told you that. And I'm very excited about you guys, and I'm thrilled that you're fulfilling this purpose. Years ago, when O.J. Simpson murdered two innocent people, we went out, my producer, myself, 10 members of our audience went to Los Angeles at an auction in Hollywood, and we purchased his Hall of Fame award in his jerseys that he signed, Heisman 68 and all, and we burned them on the steps of the L.A. courthouse the next day at noon. And,
is that right?
Yeah, and we called for the NFL Hall of Fame to remove O.J. Simpson from being honored. They refused, but I'm thankful to see that since then, others in similar situations, other Hall of Fame, so to speak, have done exactly that when people have disgraced their profession and their reputation. So what you guys are doing is so important, Nick, and I'm just thrilled to know you.
Hey, Bob, is there time for I can get one more thing in?
Well, our ending music is here, so we're going to have to close, but let's talk off the air. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in, RealScienceFriday.com. Hi, this is Bob Enyart with Real Science Friday. You can get great science materials from us, all from our website, kgov.com, or by calling us 1-800-8-ENYART. DVDs from Illustra Media that we carry, The Privileged Planet, Unlocking the Mystery of Life, and Darwin's Dilemma. And then there are the two fabulous DVDs from Dr. Carl Werner on Evolution, The Grand Experiment, Living Fossils. You'll want to see those. And then Spike Passaris, formerly with the U.S. Military Space Program, What You Aren't Being Told About Astronomy. And then there's the BEL debates, Bob Debates an Evolutionist, Dr. Eugenie Scott on DVD. We also have two DVDs on our seminar, Does God Exist?, and then Mount St. Helens, The Explosive Evidence for Catastrophe, our debate on the age of the earth, where I got to debate a mathematician from CU up in Boulder and a geophysicist on this MP3 CD. And finally, my favorite science book, In the Beginning, by Dr. Walt Brown. Just call us at 800-8-ENYART, 800-836-9278, or check out our online store in the science department, either at kgov.com or realsciencefriday.com.